Welcome to the Everything Video Podcast, where we talk about everything video.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back. This is episode 2 of the Everything Video Podcast. We're now in the studio in Andover, so...
This looks professional.
It does look professional, yeah.
Looking and being two very different things.
It's getting there. I've got the sofa, eBay, £50.
Awesome.
Also had to pay like £150 to get a van to put it in, so...
So you might as well have just gotten bought one and have it delivered.
Yeah, could have bought a brand new one. This one. Yeah, all right, cool. So today we're going to be talking about YouTube.
Yes.
Which is another subject very close to your heart.
Mm.
How long have you had a YouTube channel for?
So I've had a YouTube channel, or I had my very first YouTube channel since the start of YouTube.
Yeah.
So literally, it kind of been more than a few months after the original elephant shitting video that came out, I had a YouTube channel.
Yeah. And what kind of content were you putting on there when you first...
Magic tricks.
All right.
So I used to do semi-professional magic.
It's not what I expected.
No. So I used to do semi-professional magic, so I was putting like magic stuff on there for people to like see.
Cool.
And yeah, it got people watching and stuff, but I never really saw the potential in YouTube, as a lot of other people obviously did.
Yeah.
And then... It'll be now probably 7 years ago. A friend of mine, John, he was doing daily videos. Excuse me. And I thought, oh, okay, this is good fun.
Yeah.
Watching him do it. And so I thought, right, okay, I'll do this myself. It gives me an opportunity to capture moments of my life that actually you probably would forget about otherwise.
Yeah.
Which was quite important to me. Also, he told me you could get paid by doing it. And I was like, way, excellent. Obviously, YouTube back then was a very, very different beast. It encouraged people to create content and to be social, and it was all about groups and people talking to each other and being friendly. So I started off on this journey of making daily content, started another new channel, mainly because I couldn't remember the password to log into my old one at the time. So yeah, started this new channel off, stopped jabbering on, and that, so that was like 7 years ago. Did about 4.5 years of solid daily vlogging, never missed a day. Even when we were in Egypt, and we went on holiday for a week, and the internet in the hotel, number one, I only ever book a hotel if there's internet there, but the hotel, the internet Wi-Fi was the slowest Wi-Fi in the world. So what I used to do is leave Susanna in bed, I'd edit the vlog in the reception, and then basically I'd give the reception my computer and leave it with them all day. They'd plug it in for me so my computer didn't die, and then by the end of the day, the vlog would be uploaded, I'd take the video, the computer back, and start up with the next one. I did that 7 days.
That's commitment.
Yeah, that was commitment. Wow. So I did that for, like I said, 4.5 years.
Yeah.
Doing daily videos, got quite a good subscriber base, never anything stratospheric like some of the big guys nowadays, but did that, and then went on our honeymoon. And about halfway through our honeymoon, excuse my French, I know I've already sworn once, but this is going to be... Even more severe. I just went, what the fuck am I doing? I'm on my honeymoon and I'm editing a vlog every night. This is ridiculous. Should not be doing that at night on your honeymoon. So I just put the computer, folded the computer away and went, right, okay, daily's gone now.
Nice.
And so that was that. And then kind of flitted backwards and forwards, then went back to doing dailies again. And then I am where I am now, where I'm back doing daily content, but it's specifically on the business rather than on family life.
Yeah, when did you change over?
About a month ago. So basically some big changes in our lives and stuff like that. So I just said, right, okay, I think now is the time to actually say, I'm going to make this a business video and actually show people the process of what I go through trying to build my brand and my business.
Yeah.
And... also show I practice what I preach, basically, and show people that process of what it is I actually do in video format. And people are voyeuristic, so they love to see that behind the scenes kind of stuff.
That
That's why Big Brother and things like that work so well, and Love Island, which is coming back, for God's sake.
Yeah, I've never watched it, which is so we can't really have a conversation about Love Island. So my YouTube journey started, first YouTube channel I set up in 2007, just a year after YouTube started. My videos, first videos I made were just like funny little videos I made
with
my friends.
Kind of sketches.
I was still at school, so I was making stuff, funny little sketches, and putting them on there. And I did that for about...
Sorry, I'll just stop you there. They were sketches. We'll judge whether they were funny.
I thought they were funny. me and my friend thought that. Two people thought they were funny. For 3 or 4 years did that. So through school and university, you just kept sort of making funny little films. Funny. After that, set up my business in 2011 and then sort of posted not daily, but like probably weekly videos ever since then. And that's all on the same YouTube channel, which I'm sure we're going to talk about later, about why that's not a good idea.
Well, I'm in two minds about it these days.
I'm on my original YouTube channel.
It's an interesting one because YouTube likes new content now. But back in the day, it was originally right, okay, I've got a gaming channel, I've got a vlogging channel, I've got a blogging channel, I've got a beauty channel, and you had all these different channels, and actually what YouTube preferred was just regular content going out on one channel. So rather than creating one video a week, people should have kind of amalgamated and have Gaming Tuesday and Beauty Wednesday and so on and so forth. So it kind of worked really, really well then to have everything amalgamated. And then somewhere down the line, YouTube kind of forgot what it was designed for. And as a business, that's exactly what they are now. They're a business and they're there to make money. And some people are doing very handsomely out of it. But it generally seems to be the people that YouTube favour over the brave, almost.
So, like, in your opinion, what makes people successful on YouTube? Like, what do they have to do? Because I think, like, 10 years ago, you could actually say, right, you need to do this, this and this, and then you've got a pretty good chance of getting seen.
Yeah, I mean, back in the days, the idea was basically you could shove whatever you wanted in the tags, and if people were searching it would pop up. Now YouTube is just this completely different beast where there's millions upon millions upon millions of people using it on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, never mind on a daily basis. So you get swallowed into the feed. So you've got to try and really stand out. And it's a difficult one because I don't believe there's any way. I get asked quite a lot as an agency. I'm sure you get asked yourself as well. Can you make me a viral video?
Yeah, and everyone says, I don't know if you probably get this as well, but I've seen the Dollar Shave Club video.
Yeah.
I want that. And
if you are sat there thinking that's exactly what I want, that kind of video, it's made by a company called the Harman Brothers. It's not you, but anyway, it's spelled slightly differently. So go and search out their stuff. But they made a video, and I found this out yesterday. And so they made a video for the Dollar Shave Club. Before that, they made a video for like a picture frame company, a picture book company. Sorry. So you take photos on your phone, you download the app. And the app would recognise when you've uploaded a photo to Instagram, and when you get 60 photos together, it sends you a book of the photos. So that was the first one.
Then the
Dollar Shave one came up, and they're both very, very similar. And then they did another one recently for funnel mechanics, so lead generation and funnels and stuff like that. And so this video was bought by the funnel mechanics team, and it is one of the biggest, most expensive flops you've ever seen. It currently stands on about 8,200 views.
See, that can happen.
Yeah,
you put all your money into making a video that looks amazing.
Just because it's made by somebody who has been proven in the past,
it means
nothing. You can make the worst video in the world, and it could go viral.
Yeah,
because it's the worst video in the world. Yeah. But you could make the best piece of content, all singing, all dancing, and three people see it.
Yeah, nobody see it.
Yeah.
Frustrating,
it's very frustrating, and YouTube. Yeah, YouTube's a very interesting place. It does favour the newer creators now because they have better analytics. So the way it works is obviously on a data driven aspect these days, rather than 10 people have watched it, we'll shove it out to everybody else. So back in the day, when I would release a piece of content, it would read my tags and go, okay, this one's for Stop Jabbering On. That video there's for Stop Jabbering On, and that one there, and that one there, and that one there. And would put those videos into the recommended videos on the right-hand side of the screen. They don't do that anymore. So when you release your own piece of content, it's very rare you actually see your own content down on the right-hand side of recommended videos. Unless you've watched it all the way through. It's usually more likely going to be Peter McKinnon or Casey Neistat or Ben Brown.
Or other stuff I've watched.
Yeah, other people that you've watched once in the past who are huge creators who they'd rather you were watching because they assume they know who you should be watching rather than you deciding that for yourself. so the algorithm, what it does is it looks at watch time, looks at shares, how many people have liked it, how many people thumbs down, how many people commented. But watch time's a really big aspect. So back when I first started, there was a big group of us as friends who would all watch each other's videos.
Yeah.
But there was about 200 or 300 of us in this group. It was called the YouTube Orbit. So you would never watch everybody's video all the way through. So your watch time was quite low, but your view figures were quite high, which was great. However, now that watch time is an important thing. When it looks at your lifetime watch watch time, and my lifetime watch time is like 25%, it's shocking.
Is that why like people are making longer videos, like to get people to watch it for longer?
Yeah, because if they watch it for long, number one, if you do over 10 minutes, you can have an extra pre-roll ad. So you can put a pre-roll, a mid-roll, and an end-roll ad onto anything over 10 minutes long. Yeah. So you can make more money. But the extra pennies that you're not going to get, because you still have to earn 60 quid before you get paid anyway. So there's that. And then, the idea basically is, as long as you're not going ridiculously long, the chances are somebody will watch for longer if they like your content, and so that will lift your watch time.
I do with, the way I watch YouTube videos is I'm usually like washing up or cooking, and it's just on, and it just plays the next video, plays the next video. So if I put like football videos on, and then it's just like it just plays and plays.
So you
and
plays. Play or, playlists or
no? I just put like if I'll go onto YouTube.
Or does the auto play things?
And I'll see like like top 10 footballers playing at the World Cup.
Yeah.
And it'll play that, and then it'll just go on to the next video, and I'll just leave it on.
Yeah.
Or it'll be like, I'll watch Casey Neistat, and then it'll just go on to the next one, to the next one, to the next one. And I'm not sure, is that typical for like, so how do you watch YouTube?
To be honest, at the moment, I'm so busy, I'm not. However, when I watch YouTube, because of the way I've used the platform in the past, I specifically know I'm subscribed to people I want to view.
Yeah.
So I will go to my subscriber list and watch the people within there that actually I know I definitely want to watch.
Where I put the notification bell on, it's like, oh, for four people that I put the bell on for have uploaded, so I'll watch theirs first. Yeah. And it's like, so I get home and I think, oh, I must watch those videos.
But the problem is as well, is YouTube know they're making mistakes. I've been into YouTube and they won't admit it at all in any way, shape or form. But then they know for a fact that, number one, they've got an issue within their programming that is actually unsubscribing people to content.
We can talk about that in a minute. Yeah.
They also know for a fact of like their algorithms just don't work particularly great, that what they do is constantly keep adding to the code rather than removing code that might damage the code, new code they're putting in. And there's always issues. Whenever they do an update, there's always issues.
So tell me about like your viewing the figures of like the number of people viewing, because I've noticed mine have dropped drastically.
Oh,
and mine weren't that high to begin with.
Horrendous. So when I closed out doing dailies, obviously it's quite a controversial title, and it was I think I called it "It's Got to End Now" or something like that. And so you know when you put something controversial in there that it's generally going to pull in an audience.
Is it all in caps as well?
Yeah. if you've got an audience or you've got a subscriber base, the potential of them seeing it within their content jumps out a little bit more, because it's like, oh, what? He's stopping. So I did this last video closing out the daily vlog of my general daily life, and it got somewhere around 1,000 views, I think. Something like that. It's climbing up towards that anyway. So it did really well. Well, in the grand aspect of things.
Yeah.
And then the next day I did my first business vlog, and that dropped down. So it went down to about 300.
Yeah.
And then the next day went down to 200.
Yeah.
And then the next day went down to 100.
Yeah.
And I obeyed all the rules that YouTube set, which is publish on a regular on a regular basis, publish at the same time every time.
Yeah.
If you can publish daily. So I was publishing every single day at 6:30, and it was scheduled, so it was definitely there, ready to go.
Yeah.
And my view accounts just went down and down and down and down. And it's I'm convinced, and I mean, they're never going to admit it, but they don't want to see smaller creators succeed as much as the bigger ones. Because they don't make as much money out of us.
So when you say bigger ones, who do you like? Are you gonna, should we name some names?
The Paul brothers for a start. Mm. I mean, anybody who can get away with.
Can we bleep that out?
Anyone who can get away with
filming
filming what they filmed, filming what he filmed. It wasn't both of them. I can't drag them both through the mire, although they're both dirge, filming what he filmed. And then the biggest punishment he gets is his AdSense privileges taken away.
He lost his YouTube series. Nobody's watched that anyway.
Yeah, it's on YouTube Red. Nobody watches it.
No.
So there's people like that. I don't think Casey's as much of a YouTube's anymore.
No.
Probably beep that out as well.
Yeah. mainly, so much work to do after this is done.
Sorry. But yeah, he was at one point. And I mean, it's all algorithm based. It's all programming based. This is the thing. I don't think it's humans making the decisions. They're saying we want to make changes and make it look this way and look that way. And as a business, it's easy for them to add to the code rather than go, you know what? Yeah. Let's get a whole team and we'll reprogram the website completely and then delete and start again.
Yeah.
And they'd probably find that they'd have a lot more people who were successful, who they could make money off.
Yeah. But it's just, for them, it's just about making money as quickly as they can. And they're not going to want to spend loads in fixing it more people can... creators can make more money.
Yeah, I mean, the best way if you want to become a big creator is to get the idea completely out of your head in the first place and create content because you want to create it.
Yeah.
And to create it because you enjoy doing it. And that's the whole point of making content. And then if you just so happen to find the magic formula that suddenly you explode, then brilliant. Awesome. More power to you. But don't start making content just because you want to be the next big thing.
That's what I started. I set up a new YouTube channel because of what we kind of said the other day to each other. So I've had the same channel since 2007. And then recently it's all about the video show. So now I'm putting all the video show, like from now on, episode 150 onwards, it's going to be the video show, its own channel.
Right, cool, okay.
And that's all going to be the same sort of content.
Mm-hmm.
So will that, it's hard to say, but will that help that it's a new channel, it's going to be regularly uploaded to, and it's all this, it's all similar content.
It's fresh analytics, which is great for a channel. It depends on the watch time, really, more than anything else. That's the big thing. If you can build up 100 subscribers fairly quickly, because that's your customer base, and those 100 subscribers will watch your content once a week, then you're onto a winner.
Yeah.
I think the big problem these days is that people are so inundated with video. Yeah. I got into, not an argument as such, but I was on LinkedIn this morning and somebody had commented last night and I thought about whether I should go back to them or not. And this morning I thought, no, I'm going to go back. So this guy had commented basically going, what's the point of all these videos of people walking around and talking to their cameras while on LinkedIn? It's banal, I'd rather just read it. And so I was like, okay.
That's up to him, though.
And this is exactly what I said. Yeah. I went back to him and said, but that's horses for courses, because what you would prefer to read, others would prefer to watch in a video.
Yeah.
What others would prefer to watch in a video, someone else would rather listen to a podcast.
Yeah.
And somebody else would rather look at memes. So if you can remove the friction and actually allow your audience to digest your content in the way they want to digest it,
That's what you do as well.
I think that's really important for people to think about now, is that if you're trying to build your own brand, you're a media agency, and you've got a media agency in your back pocket or on your laptop or what have you. So make good use of it. But actually start to think about the fact that you're creating friction if all you do is write a blog. Because I don't read blogs. I don't know about you.
No.
And I don't know many people who do, but somebody will.
So why do I watch videos and listen to podcasts? So...
it's easy.
This is what we're doing here.
I mean, video is an interesting one. I mean, this, obviously, the idea is mainly for the podcast rather than for the video.
Yeah. It's literally just a camera.
The video is an extra piece of content for people to potentially watch if they want to. And it's another way of posting something on YouTube that then can have the content in the description box and the SEO tags tying back to the website, which will then hopefully increase your SEO and your dwell time on your website. But I think at the moment, I think a big area that a lot of people are missing out on is audio. I really think audio is going to be the big, big thing. I've been talking about this for a few years now, and it seems to be the way that people are starting to talk about it in a bigger way. that video is brilliant if you want to show a product or if you want to be really creative or work on a campaign, so you can create cinemagraphs and 3D GIFs and you can do short form content, you can do the Dollar Shave Club videos and so on and so forth. But when you're trying to remove friction and just want to get your content out to people, you need to make it as easy as possible, which is why that is perfect, because you can listen to it in the car, you can listen to it
that's exactly
in the bath,
in
bed, whatever, while you're mowing the lawn. Not like we've got big lawns or anything, but but you can listen to a podcast wherever you want.
It's exactly, it's up to people how they want to just take in the content. So that guy, did he reply back to you?
Which one's that?
The guy who said
the guy on LinkedIn. No, he didn't, surprisingly enough. I think I gave a fairly reasoned answer.
Yeah, I think it's
to be honest, because I did say, look, people might want to consume it in whatever way. So for us as a business and for you as a brand, the best way is to remove that friction. And if you're trying to build a YouTube career or whatever, or if you want to be an influencer, like I say, number one, get that kind of idea out of your head and just create because you want to create. But treat yourself as a media.
This is something I've learned in the past couple of weeks. It was like, I just want to make content that I'm going to enjoy making and that I hope people will enjoy. So I'm trying to just be myself a bit more and not take myself too seriously.
Exactly. I mean, I've worked with a creator in the past who used to create a certain type of content and kind of started to hate making that content. So he moved on to another type of content and started to hate making that kind of content. So now he's moved on to another type of content and he's kind of moving slowly away from that as well. Because no matter how big you are and how much money you're making from it, it kind of, it becomes, it's like a job. And I know it is a job, but you're doing it for a long time. And if you don't enjoy what you're doing in life, stop doing it and find something that you do enjoy doing.
Yeah, like the videos I've started to make recently are exactly the same sort of tone as when I first started.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to be just laid back. Like, I think there was a point where I started taking myself a bit too seriously. So it's good to sort of step away from it and just...
Yeah. I think that's what happened when I stopped doing stuff when I was on my honeymoon. Because I was taking it a bit too seriously.
You have to take a look at yourself.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm not really making a lot of money out of this. Yeah. I was paying for coffees and stuff, and I could get away with saying I'm making money from YouTube because I was getting paid about 3 or 4 times a year. But it's not a lot of money. And is it really worth not enjoying your honeymoon? or any part of your life? And I'm just like, this is stupid. And just took a good hard look at myself.
Yeah, cool. So just sort of rounding off, what should people do? Where should people post their videos? What kind of platform is the best right now?
Oh, God. It depends on what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
You need to know what you're trying to achieve from your content in the first place. Because if you don't know what problem you're trying to fix with your content, then you don't know where to post it.
Yeah.
Because if you're creating a daily vlog, then maybe YouTube is a great place to put it. But my daily vlog, I put it on YouTube, I upload it natively to Facebook, and I upload it natively to LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Because I'm not necessarily bothered about the audience I'm trying to build up on YouTube, so I'm not always trying to point people back to that one place.
Mm.
I'm just bothered about people consuming my content and actually getting value from it. So that's how I run mine. But then if you're a business, you just need to understand where your audience is and what it is you're trying to
achieve. Be aware of where your audience is and where they're going to be watching it, how they're going to watch it, if they're going to even watch it.
What kind
of content are they likely to consume?
What are they going to consume? What are they going to achieve? I mean, there's no point in putting a cinemagraph on LinkedIn because it's not the platform for it. So you've got to think, unless you're a company who creates cinemagraphs, but there's no real point in putting cinemagraphs on LinkedIn or a 3D GIF as such, because it's not really going to appeal to the audience on there. But it would appeal to the audience on LinkedIn or on Twitter or on Facebook or on Instagram even. So it's just understanding exactly what you're trying to achieve from it.
Yeah.
And what it is that you've created as well. Because it could be something like this, which is ideal for LinkedIn because it's a talking piece, but it might be a product video, which again is no good to LinkedIn. Unless it's a new computer.
So just taking a bit of time out, thinking about who's going to be watching it, where they're going to be watching it, how they're going to consume it, and then...
Research.
Don't rush into it. And have fun with it. Don't take yourself too seriously. I think this has been quite a good one.
I think so. Apart from the odd bit of
I've got a lot to bleep out. We can't go around calling people
and there's another one.
Yeah. I'll end it there. Bye.
See you later.